Next week we're going to celebrate Epiphany, and Epiphany is one of those words that means revelation, and St. Paul in that second reading today talks about the revelation of the mystery that had been hidden through the ages. And this mystery of the Incarnation, this mystery of God dwelling among his people in a particular physical way, that first reading intimates that God was always with people, and he was with Israel, and he blessed them. And so the blessing that was given by Aaron to Moses and the others in the camps, that was all about God dwelling among his people. So there's nothing really new except the revelation. It's the realization of what had always been. So did this change anything? Was there ever a time when God didn't want to be with his people? Of course not. Was there ever a time when God was so angry he was holding back his love and his mercy from people? No, of course not. But now we know it. And we know it in that particular physical kind of way, God dwelling among his people. And Mary, of course, is a sign, because in her Immaculate Conception, she is already living what we are going to live in the realized kingdom of the future: sinlessness, purity, holiness, and grace. And this is our destiny. This is who we are, made in God's image. We were born under the law, St. Paul says, but we have been redeemed from the law by the incarnation of Christ. The law, you see, only points out our sin. It can't redeem us from our sin. It can only point it out. And Paul is, and particularly in his letter to the Galatians, this is his main point. He just keeps hammering it home over and over again. The law can't redeem us. You can't save yourself by obeying laws. All the law can do is point out our sin. Christ, however, redeems us by announcing that we are adopted children of our Heavenly Father. And if we are sons and daughters, then we are also heirs of the kingdom. This is who we are. And to know that is to get a huge leg up. Now, we hear that in the scriptural word over and over again our whole lives, because we need to keep hearing that. The world is more despairing. The world is just sort of locked in sin, you might say, locked in hopelessness, locked in the despair that we can never get out of the morass of our human sin, that we're always going to have enmity between each other. Nations are always going to be at war with other nations. People are always going to be gouging and cheating and taking advantage, unfair advantage, and there's always going to be oppression, and there's always going to be crime and murder and rape and all those things. And so just live with it, because we're never going to get through that. But we Christians, because of this revelation of God's mercy dwelling among us in that particular way, we're not lost in hopelessness. We believe, we trust that God's promises are going to be fulfilled. And we believe that that's not just something that awaits a distant future eons away, but somehow that revelation, that mystery, that truth, that reality dwells among us now. And so our sacramental system, baptism, Eucharist, confirmation, reconciliation, anointing, marriage, these are all signs that give us hope, that remind us that this reality is here. So we say strange things like we're going to eat and drink of God in a few minutes. How can you say that? I mean, the world doesn't believe that's possible. We do. The world doesn't believe that God cares enough to come and dwell with his people, but we do. The world has lost sight of this mystery. And even Christians, we've been living with Christianity for 2,000 years, and yet even Christians have lost sight of this. And so do we from time to time. And that's why we have to keep coming back here and hearing this and eating it and drinking it over and over again. Because this mystery of God dwelling among his people, this mystery of the Word made flesh, that God so desires to be with his people that he breathes his very life into us at baptism. We are redeemed by the Son and his resurrection, but we are joined to the Son by the Spirit. The Spirit is always the agent of unity in the salvation mystery. And so we're going to pray in a few minutes that the Spirit would unite this bread and wine to Christ. And we're going to invoke that same Spirit over ourselves, that the Spirit would unite us to Christ. So that in the same way that the Word of God was inspired by the Holy Spirit and we get nurtured, we get fed by that Word, we get fed by the Son here, and we become what we eat, we become what we hear, we become united to the Son. And so our sonship and our daughterhood is not something we can claim for ourselves, it's something we experience in and through him. Our yes, like Mary's yes, is only made possible not by our human willfulness, but it's made possible by our participation in his yes. Christ has said yes to the cross so that we might say yes to our deaths and resurrections as well.